Invite your attention tonight, if you want to start turning, the Old Testament book of Numbers. We'll start in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. As you're turning there, I want you to think about something. Imagine yourself and answer to yourself, which of these sounds more like us? If we were to pray, would it be, Lord, give us peace, and give us a life of ease? May trouble, hardship, persecution, challenges, may they never come our way. Or would we be able to say these words, Lord, challenge me. Help me to be bold in the face of trouble, hardship, persecution, and challenges. Imagine for quite a few people, maybe of this number, maybe of the world, that former sounds pretty nice. Now give me a life where I don't have to worry about anything. Give me a life where I'm never really challenged. I'm never really urged on to do any better. Now, I was thinking as I was mentioning that, or as I was going over this again today, something I heard one time of a coach. I think it was a father-coach. He says, I purposefully, when my child was training in whatever sport it was, I put them in competitions that I knew they probably weren't going to win. The thing is, if we always play those that we know we can win, if we always play those things that seem easy, only in those competitions, our skill level rarely increases. But if we challenge ourselves, if we put before us some obstacles in those types of situations, then we learn and we grow. We develop that skill. Same way the challenges of life and the things that we go through can do the same thing for us spiritually. They can build us up and they can encourage us. I think about a man tonight that says, give me this mountain. We know the man. Name is Caleb. Time is in Joshua 14 and verse 12, and here the nation of Israel have gone in and they have begun the conquest of Canaan. And the land is being distributed among themselves, and Caleb comes and he's ready for his inheritance. And a promise of a particular inheritance has been given to him, but it's not necessarily an easy inheritance. It's not necessarily an easy place to conquer. He didn't ask, give me the land that we've already fought over, the land that's already settled. Give me the smooth and the flat and the easy plain. He said, give me this mountain. The mountain that he had been promised. We need a lot more Calebs. And that's what I want to think about tonight, is being people like Caleb that would be willing to say, give me this mountain. Give me this challenge. Give me this difficulty. I can put myself to the test. As we think about Caleb, I want to back up about 45 years to the time in which we become familiar with Caleb. And that's in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 14. And this chapter we know is shortly after the coming out of Egypt. The nation of Israel has gone by Mount Sinai. They've come up to the land of near Jordan. The spies are selected and they're going to go over into the land of Canaan and look over the land. And that's where we begin to learn about Caleb. And we are introduced to him in chapter 13. And the first thing we learn about Caleb is that he was a leader. In fact, all of these 12 men that were selected to go and spy out in the land of Canaan were leaders or rulers in their tribes. In fact, that's what we find here in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 2. Send men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. At the end of verse 3, men that were heads of the children of Israel. These 12 men that crossed over the Jordan to go out and spy the land of Canaan, they were rulers, they were heads, they were respected leaders in their own tribe, here in the nation of Israel. And so that's who we're talking about here, the type of character of men. Men that were rulers, men that were respected. Men that this whole nation had placed their trust and their confidence in. Men they had great respect for. And men that now accept upon themselves a great responsibility. Because they know this is the land into which we're going. This is the land that God has promised unto us. And we are the ones now that get to be chosen to go over and see this land. Others are going to be looking at them. They're going to be trusting their decisions. Going to be trusting their report. They're looking up to them with a lot of great respect. They're going to follow their example, for good or for bad. And so we find, first off, Caleb was a leader, but even more than that, something we're going to find as we go through this account is he was a leader not just in name or position. Not just in some role he was given here. And he said, okay, I guess I'll take it. But in action, in character, he's going to show himself to be a true leader. A good leader. And we're going to find even more reasons for that as we go through this section. And so Caleb was a leader. And what I want to suggest to us tonight is that we also need to be leaders. We need to be people that the world and others around us can trust. People that can be an example. Those that are ready to take upon us a great responsibility. To be a light and an example in a world around us, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. They may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Examples of those that are following Christ. We think, I don't have a problem with that for a lot of people. The Bible's going to speak of elders. They're also termed by other names, but we find qualifications for them in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Some of those found in verse 2 and again in verse 7, a bishop or elder must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. Here's a man defined by blamelessness. Not that he's a sinless man, but what can be laid to his charge that he refuses to take care of? What sin is there that he continues to possess and he refuses to deal with? Is this a man of good respect, we'll find here, or good report in verse 7? A man of good behavior. One that truly is an example to the congregation, to other Christians, to the people that he lives around. I mean, yes, elders, they need to be respected and trusted. They need to be good examples. Go on and further in that chapter, verse 10. But deacons also, we understand, they need to be a good example. These also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. That same idea there. Are they good report? Are they people that can be trusted? Are they people that are truly trying to follow God and His will? And we think, well, okay, we don't have a problem with that either. What about a preacher or a teacher? Paul is writing to Timothy, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. He says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Timothy, you be an example. People are watching you. Again, we think we have no problem with that. We understand that. Elders, deacons, preachers, yes, need to be a great example, but the encouragement to all of us now then. So we as Christians as well. We need a lot of men and a lot of women that are willing to be the same type of character that Caleb has. Paul is writing Christians at Philippi in Philippians 2, verse 14 and 15. He says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. He says, you're an example. You're set forth as a light in a dark place, in a crooked generation. If you go on there in Philippians chapter 2, he tells us what we're holding forth the word of life and light. says, you be an example of a Christian. People are watching you. Here Caleb was going to be a leader. He was going to show us and the people of his generation he was one that could be trusted. He was one you could have confidence in. He was one that was willing to take an unpopular stand, but it was a stand for that which was right and that which was good and that which was true. We need a lot more people that are willing to be like that even today. He was a leader. But not only was he a leader, we continue on and we find here why he was such a good leader. Why he becomes such a good example for this generation and for all generations that were to follow after him. And that was because Caleb trusted in God. Caleb gains his popularity, his notoriety, if you will, here, Numbers 13 and 14. You think of Joshua and Caleb, this is where your mind goes. You think, oh, they were the two. They were the two out of the 12 that came back and said, we can do it, let us go. The other 10 said, no, we can't do it. Chapter 13 and 14 is what set Caleb and Joshua apart from the rest. From the rest of the other 10 and also from the rest of most of this generation. Because they were truly willing to trust in God. You see, there's very little that sets Caleb and also Joshua apart from the other 10 tribes. But that little is very important. You know, as these two men went with the 12 over into the land of Canaan, they saw the same thing. They witnessed the same things. They saw the walled cities. They saw the strong people. They saw the great fruit of the land and how well it was. They saw that these were descendants of the children of the giants. These are great men. They're strong men. They have great defenses. But that's where they differ. All 12 saw the same thing. What differed was their report. Because Caleb and Joshua are going to see them through the eyes of faith. Their confidence, their faith, is in the power of God. I love the report of Caleb. If you're there in Numbers chapter 13, the people have come back, and Joshua and Caleb are agreeing all the way up to this point. Oh yes, we went there. We saw the things that are being reported. There's no doubt about that. What they're saying is right, but look in verse 30 of Numbers chapter 13. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. There's a leader. He's saying, let's go. Right now, we can organize, we can get this together, we can go and we can conquer it. You think for a minute, here, Caleb, you're setting yourself against 10 other men. Notice, men also that were rulers, men that were respected, men that were trusted, just as Caleb and Joshua were. Caleb said, we can do it. Let's go. Right now. The other men said, no, we can't do it. And most of this generation, most of this nation here is going to go along with the 10 and say, we can do it. But Caleb was such a great leader. He is such a great example for us because he trusted in God. Jump over now to chapter 14. And the people have been lamenting, and the next day Joshua and Caleb are going to stand up again in front of the people and plead with them. And he says in verse 8 and verse 9, if the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land. He will give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. For their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Caleb says, trust in God. Have your faith, have your confidence in Him. Does Caleb believe they can go and conquer the land? Yes, but not because of military might, not because of their own strength, not because they outnumber the others. My confidence, my faith is in God. He is with us. Therefore, let us go off at once and conquer it. By our own? I don't think so. But my confidence, my faith, my trust is in God. Therefore, I believe that these things can be done. Caleb was willing even at this point. He is 40 years old. He's ready to go. He says, let's go and let's fight. Let us take this challenge on because we know that God is with us. But the others refused to go. Because their confidence, their faith, their trust wasn't in God. They were stumbling in their own unbelief. And again, I propose to you, we need people that will trust and put their confidence in God. We cannot welcome challenges if we don't have that same sort of attitude. See, if we have the same type of attitude as the most of that nation at that time, there's very little we'll ever even attempt. Because we're going to say at every opportunity, it can't be done. We're going to say at every opportunity, it's not worth trying. We're going to fail in the end, so why should we even make an attempt? See, all sorts of excuses will flood to mind if we don't have that type of attitude that trusts in God and places our complete confidence in Him. But yet, if we have that type of attitude that Caleb did, one that really does trust in God, then we'll be willing to take on some challenges. We'll be ready for the trials of this life. We'll be ready for whatever comes before us. Even as we see some great examples of people in the first century. They were willing to say, I'm going to be faithful unto God. I'm going to strive to fulfill His will. I'm going to strive to fulfill the charge that's been given unto us. Even though at times it may seem an impossibility. Because my confidence is in God. I think that's Paul's attitude. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You don't think it would have been easy for Paul to give up and quit? To say this is an impossibility, this is a charge we can't keep. And yet he would be able to look at that situation even as he's writing to them there in the 4th chapter. He says, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Whether I am in need, whether I'm abounding, whether I am free, whether I'm in prison, yet I'm going to continue walking with God. Why, Paul, do you keep going through this? Why do you have any confidence at all? Because my faith isn't in myself. My faith is in Christ. My faith is in God. That's going to give us courage. It's going to give us strength to go and face the challenges that we face in life. Not that we go out into the day and we think of all that we might face and we say, I'm ready, I bring it on because I'm going to do it all myself. But knowing with full confidence, I walk with God. The charges that He set before me are possible. Because I'm walking with Him and I'm doing His will. That is going to strengthen me. Again, he's going to write unto Timothy, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Did God give us some great charges? Did He give us some challenges? One that automatically should pop into our mind is taking the gospel into all of the world. Is teaching others, is that a great challenge? Yes. But is it one we're just going to quit and give up on before we even make an attempt? Is it a challenge to live faithful? Is it a challenge to try to overcome the temptations of life? Is it a challenge to be faithful in the midst of persecution? Is it a challenge to retain our faith even when others around us might ridicule us, might laugh us to shame? Yes, it's a challenge. But are we then going to just quit and give up? Much like this generation that came out of Egypt said it can't be done. Let's turn back before we even try. Or is our faith and our confidence going to be in God? That's where Caleb's confidence was. That's why he was such a good leader. But also, it's why we find this third point. He didn't mind challenges. He didn't mind the struggles that were before him. I have a picture there on these slides that are in the background of a mountainscape. If I was going to go and I wanted a piece of land for myself, the mountain isn't necessarily where I'd pick first. It's a rougher terrain. It's easier defended by the inhabitants that are already there. And yet a mountain of Hebron is where Caleb and Joshua and the other 10 have gone out and they have spied in this land. And he said, that is conquerable. This is something that we can do. Something I don't know about Caleb. I don't know that he was fearless. I don't know that he was able to sit there and say, I don't have a single concern. But what impresses me about Caleb in chapter 13 and 14 of the book of Numbers is he trusted in God, even though that fear may have been present. That trust in God is going to help drive out that fear. He's going to help calm that fear. He's going to help settle him so that he'll be able to say, let us go up at once, for we are well able to overcome it. We're well able to conquer this land that God has already promised us. You see, Caleb's already taken a risky assignment. He already went up and spied in the land. He already put his life on the line in that sense. They could have been caught. They could have been killed. He was willing to take the chance. He was willing to go and see this land and bring back a report. Not only that, when Caleb came back, he faced an angry mob. You know, the first time maybe, I'm willing to stand up and say, guys, we can do this. But that second time he's standing up there in chapter 14, the people are ready to kill him. They're ready to stone him. They're ready to rebel against God and turn back and go to the land of Egypt. Now that's going to be a difficult crowd in order to stand up and say, people, you can still do this. When they're looking at you and would desire to kill you, and yet he's still going to remain faithful unto God. It amazes me, here was one that was trusted, that was respected, a leader among his people. But now even though he's still being faithful to God, you don't see that respect and that trust in him anymore. It shifted to the other 10 that have brought back that faulty report. But now let us fast forward. Fast forward 45 years to Joshua chapter 14. And we'll conclude our study there tonight. Joshua chapter 14. 45 years have passed. That nation that we were reading about in Numbers chapter 13 and 14 have mostly died. Those over the age of 20 that came out of the land of Egypt refused to go into the land of Canaan because they didn't trust God. They were told, you're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And you're going to die off there in the land of the wilderness because you didn't trust God. You didn't have confidence in Him. But I'm still going to give it to your children. You said, we're afraid for our children. What if they kill us and what if they kill our children? And God says, fine, you won't enter into that land of promise, but your children will. A new generation has risen up. Joshua and Caleb will be the two from that crowd there that are also going to be able to enter into this land. 40 years they've wandered there in the wilderness. Now they've had a time of conquest in the land. They have been victorious here as they've trusted in God and done His will. Now they're dispersing this land as God would have them to, dividing it up among the tribes. And a promise had been given to Caleb. Moses, back in Numbers chapter 14, during that time, he had promised Caleb, the mountain you went and spied out, that land is going to be yours. 45 years later now, Caleb again comes to Joshua. He's now the leader of God's people. And look, Joshua chapter 14 and verse 8. The children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again, saying it as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain. This mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, that the cities were great and fenced. If so be that the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord has said. He said, I follow the Lord my God. That's why these promises have come upon me now. That's why they are now fulfilled. He's able to say, at 85, I still have the same trust and the same confidence in God. It's been 45 years, and yet he says, my strength has not wavered. And yet we find something else about Caleb here. His faith and his confidence in God has not wavered either. He still believes God can and will give them this land as they follow His will. And so still, 45 years later, he says, I'm ready to go. Give me this mountain. Even though I have to go and fight for it, even though maybe it might be a rough terrain, this is my land. This is the promise. This is the land that we spied out. And yes, it has defense cities and it has the children of the giants and has the great fruit of the land as well. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go and conquer this land and have it for my inheritance. And so he asks for this mountain. He's ready for the reward he has patiently waited for. His confidence in God has not wavered. And all of this time he has continued to trust in the promise of God. That God is going to bring us back to this place. We are going to conquer it. And this place will be my inheritance and my children's forever. And now that promise here is going to be fulfilled. He didn't wait and say, maybe someone else will conquer this land for us. He didn't wait and say, maybe the younger generation will do it. Still, his confidence is there. Give me a challenge. Give me this land that we know of, and I will go up and I will fight it. What about ourselves? Are we going to still be willing to accept challenges, some obstacles, that our faith might grow, that we might be bold in the face of opposition? I'm going to look at some examples that we find of Paul in which I think he expresses that same attitude. It would be good attitude for us to follow even today. First off, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 19, he's asking them to pray for him. He says, And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. It strikes me when Paul is asking for people to pray for him, he doesn't necessarily ask for easiness. He doesn't ask for comfort. Do I face some problems and some struggles ahead of me as I preach the gospel? Well, then I pray for boldness. Boldness to meet those challenges. Boldness to continue in the faith. Boldness to continue in that which I know is right. Bring on the challenges, but give me boldness. As he's writing to the church at Colossae, with all praying for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, Colossians 4, 3 and 4. Here is a gospel message that I've been chained for. I'm in bonds. And yet I pray for opportunity to go and preach it. He didn't quit and give up because he faced some obstacles and challenges. He prayed for more opportunities to go forth and do the same thing. And I never find Paul, as he's writing Timothy or Titus or any other congregation, he say, look what happened to me when I preached and followed the gospel. Look at the burdens that have been brought on my life and the challenges I've had to face. And so if you know what's good for you, you won't go down the same road. It's not what he wrote at all. He said, even though you'll find me in bonds, even though you'll find me in this condition, I pray that you go down the same road. You face some of the same obstacles and challenges with faith and confidence in God. Don't give up just because I'm going through these struggles. And don't give up just because you may also go through these struggles. Again, to church at Thessalonica. Finally, my brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. That we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 and 2. I think of any prayer or request which I read of Paul, this is probably the closest to one that says, deliver us from the struggles or obstacles we might face. But notice the reason why. He doesn't say deliver us from these problems and these challenges that might come upon us. What he's praying for here is that the gospel is going to have free course. Allow it to go forth into the world that men can hear the soul-saving message of the gospel. He knows it needs to be heard, and so pray for that free course that we can go into the world and we can preach it, no matter what obstacles might lie in that path. And sometimes we need to realize, even as James writes unto us, these obstacles, as we've been talking about, these challenges that we face in our spiritual lives can be a great benefit. We may not think it, may not seem like it when we may be going through those problems and those difficulties. And yet James writes unto us and he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or outward trials of life, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking or wanting nothing. It says these things are good for you. They're going to build you up. They're going to strengthen you. Yes, they're going to try your faith. But that which is tried is stronger. Think of steel or iron and how it is tried and the impurities are brought forth out of it by fire. And the accomplishment of that makes it stronger, makes it harder, makes it useful. The same thing can happen in our faith. We don't necessarily always look forward and think, and think that we necessarily want to keep going through some of them. But yet, nevertheless, they can increase our faith. They can strengthen it. They can make us stronger as Christians, and they can make us ready for future challenges that might be brought our way. And so in the world today, what do we need? We need a lot more people like Caleb. We need a lot more people that are willing to stand up like Caleb and say, I'm ready to be a leader. I'm ready to be an example to others around us. People that are ready to say, even like Caleb, my trust and my confidence is in God. People that are ready to say, even like Caleb, I don't mind the challenges because I know I'm walking with God. My faith, my confidence is there with Him. Can we honestly pray, Lord, give me this mountain. Give me a challenge. Strengthen and encourage my faith through the things that I'm going through in life. And as we're going through those difficulties, those problems, remember that's exactly where our faith and our trust, our confidence is. It is in God. Tonight we ask ourselves the question then, am I walking with God? Have I continued faithfully with Him? I'm going to face struggles as I go through this life. Am I going to face them alone or am I going to face them with God? We find as we read through the New Testament the plan whereby God says all men can have the opportunity to be saved. The gospel, the power of God unto salvation has gone out into the world, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. The gospel which we need to hear. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10 verse 17. That also we need to believe. Without faith it's impossible to believe God. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Are we going to come to Him? Are we going to follow His will if we don't believe Him? That we also repent of our sins. We turn from those things. We turn from our mindset that says, I'm going to follow the will of the world and I'm going to follow God. Jesus said to some of those that He spoke to in Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. We're going to confess Christ. Verbal confession made with the mouth unto salvation, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And then also we're going to be baptized, immersed in water, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, for the remission of our sins, that they are washed away, Acts 22 and verse 16. Added unto the church, Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. Placed into Christ, Galatians 3 and verse 27. Enjoying then all the spiritual blessings that are found in Him, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. And as we continue faithfully with Him, faithfully in that body, the church which He's promised to save, looking forward then to that eternal life which we have with God in heaven. If we stumble and we fall, sometimes we don't do those things we should. Sometimes we do those things we shouldn't. Nevertheless, He says He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins when we repent of those things. We confess them, 1 John 1 and verse 9. We stand ready to help you make those decisions even tonight. Whether you want to be immersed into Christ or whether you need the prayers of the congregation, we stand ready if you let that need be known, even as together we stand and sing.